I've been teaching dogs for nearly 40 years, and there's some universal do's and don'ts of dog training that you need to know. So get ready. In this episode, I'm going to take you through it one at a time. Hey, it's Sarah. Welcome to another episode of Life Unleashed. I am so excited about today's podcast. I can hardly sit still in my chair. It's the do's and don'ts of dog or puppy parenting. In fact, a lot of these things that I'm going to talk about relate a little bit to regular parenting, and they relate a lot of it to just dealing with pets in general. But let's focus on our dogs and our puppies, because those are often the pets that we want to take places and do things with. They're the ones we think of like children, probably for good cause, because they do have a lot in common with kids. They love social interaction. They love to be a part of things. And when they act out, you want to remember that the behavior itself is not bad. The behavior is communication. So we have to dig a little bit deeper and find out why they're acting out and what we can do to help them feel better, feel safer, feel happier, all sorts of things I'm going to tuck into today's podcast. So the first thing we're going to talk about is the don'ts. Because I walk into homes or I talk to people on Zoom and can tell what their people are doing wrong simply by their behavior. Let me give you a great example. We have what's called an imprint puppy. So I only take young little babies. She's about 12 weeks old. And every single time I walk up to the gate or I let her out of her crate, which I think of as a crib, she gets very manic, very excited, jumping, biting, like woofing. She gets super excited. So what do I know about the household she came from? I know that when she acted like that, they maybe unconsciously, probably unconsciously reinforced it because they would just pet her and think, oh no, it's okay. I'm here. Don't worry. You can come out of your crate. You have to go to the bathroom. The problem with reinforcing dogs who are hyper aroused, acting in kind of a wild fashion, is that whatever you pay attention to, you actually reinforce. So it's not that the dog is bad. It's that the dog or puppy is getting reinforced for jumping and being hyper aroused, happy in essence, but showing their happiness in like a chaotic fashion because you're focused in that moment. It's just as easy when you walk up to a gate and a dog is jumping to go like this, to take your hands and literally cover your face. It's what I call the peekaboo solution. And simply wait to lower your hands and greet your dogs until they're standing on all four paws. This is what I call the four paw rule. But let's get started. Don'ts. And I did promise you I'd go off on tangents. So do bear with me because there's lots of little kernels tucked into just about everything I say. Okay. The number one don't is do not stare at your dogs and bullet command. What's a bullet command? It's a command you repeat over and over again. Sit, sit, sit. Come, come, come. Down, down. Off, off. Blah! The dog kind of gets freaked out. It's overwhelming. And when you're staring at a dog, staring to a dog can be perceived as confrontational. So when you're like, sit, 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 you're basically shouting in their face. Wouldn't it be weird if I walked up to you and said, hello, 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 come to my house, my house, my house. You would freak out. Now, when you speak to your dog, you just want to articulate yourself in a calm manner. Sit. You know what I do? If my puppy, I have a puppy and I have dogs, and if any of them don't listen to me, I just say, more for me, and I pretend to eat a treat, which I may or may not have in my hand at the time. And as soon as they think I'm eating something, they're like, oh, I wish. Then they sit down real quick, and I shake my hands back and forth, and I say, oh, no more, no more. So there are ways to ensure your dog listens when you give them a direction. I like directions better than command. Command sounds like I'm a general. General Sarah. Not existent. So I like to think of it as a direction. So when I give my dogs a direction, I want them to feel so connected to me. And later in the talk, I'm going to tell you how to do that. But for now, avoid directly staring and either bullet commanding or disciplining your dog, because the goal is that when you're together, you feel safe and happy. And I'm going to go over that. For now, don't stare at your dog and give them commands or discipline, because they'll perceive it differently than you're trying to convey. Okay. Now, the second thing is don't harp on them when they're doing something wrong. Again, if I have a dog that's jumping and I harp on them, I'm paying attention to them. And they're going to repeat anything I pay attention to, whether it's negative or positive. And if that sounds like child psychology, it certainly is. One time when my son was very young, I was picking up his sister, who's 4 years older. And the two of us are like little chatterbugs. So she was chatting and I was chatting. And my son was clearly trying to get our attention and failing miserably. So all of a sudden, at the top of his lungs, he shouts out the F-bomb. I slammed on the brake. I turn around. I pay attention to him, which I just did the wrong thing. And you know what? It took another month to get that F-bomb out of his mouth. Because what did he see? Oh, when I want their attention, I just scream the F-bomb. Clever kid. Avoid doing that with your dog. Now, when I say don't harp on them for what they're doing wrong, the people who generally harp on their dog for doing wrong think in their mind that it's effective, when I can clearly point out it isn't. For example, they say off when the dog is jumping on the counter. They shout at them when they're nipping or chewing something they shouldn't. And in the moment, they stop. And then I ask, do they do it again later? And they say, yeah, in like 10 minutes. So it's not effective. If the dog understood what you were conveying is they weren't allowed to do that, they wouldn't do that. So what you're conveying when you focus on them doing the wrong thing is that this is a very effective way to get me to pay attention, and our relationship is confrontational. Another example happened just last night. I'm with this adorable puppy. They're coming in for a week starting tomorrow. And I'm watching the people interact with this puppy. And every time the puppy picks up a stone, a little tiny stone, the pair shriek, run over, dig the stone out of the dog's mouth. And I said, what you doing? And they said, well, you know, our last dog swallowed a stone. It was a big deal. And I said, but like, seriously, what are you doing in the moment? You're conveying prize envy that that stone has value because you're willing to stop everything, run over, and pull it out of the dog's mouth. And again, I pointed out to them, if it was an effective way to discipline the dog for picking up stones, it would stop picking up stones. Instead, it was picking up stones. Every other minute, it was a hot mess. So how am I going to backtrack? First of all, I'm going to teach them drop it. I'll teach them find it. And I'll teach them leave it. And yes, you can do this with a very young puppy if you do it right. Stick with me and I'll teach you how to do it right. Okay, so the next thing, and this is a super important thing, is don't keep your puppies up late at night. And why I'm tucking it in kind of in the middle of the discussion is because it brings up a very important point. And that is an overtired puppy is like a tantruming toddler with teeth. They are complete nightmares. And I would go further to say that a much larger percentage of dogs in America are overtired than not. How do I know this? It's a gander. Don't quote me. But just about everybody who calls me with a puppy who is jumping, they're biting in like a crazy manic fashion. They're showing puppy aggression, which again can just be a puppy that's tired. I go over to their house or I do a Zoom or they come to Camp Sarah. And the first thing I find is that they are getting way too little sleep. The people are keeping them up on the couch to cuddle them until 9, 10, 11 at night. The puppies are having the wild zoomies again at 9, 10, 11 at night. A puppy is like a baby and a dog is still a dog. Dogs have to go to sleep with the sun. They live in what's called a crepuscular biorhythm. So they are most awake at dawn and dusk, not up late at night watching Colbert. Puppies and dogs need to be in bed by 8 o'clock. And if you treat a puppy like a best buddy and keep them up watching late night TV, they're going to be overtired in the morning and they're going to act out because you can't behave. You can't behave well if you feel exhausted. And like, just think about yourself. Animals need their sleep. As much as you love your new dog or puppy, please create a sleeping ritual. And I'll talk about this a little more in the do's section. So what have we learned so far? Don't stare and bullet command or discipline your dog. You seem very threatening, especially if you have a puppy and you're looming over them, staring down and getting frustrated. You look more like a predator than a parent. Puppies don't act good when they feel bad. So we want to focus on what they're doing right, not discipline for what they're doing wrong. Next, don't. I want to talk to you about negative reinforcement training, or what is called negative reinforcement training. Things like using e-collars, things like yelling at your dog, things like getting frustrated when you come home and you see your dog's done something you'd prefer they not do, like peeing or tearing up a carpet. So what exactly does negative reinforcement do to your dog? The first thing I want to point out it does is it stresses that bond that they have a bestie in the world. They have someone that always has their back. When you yell at a dog, you become predator-like. You become threatening. You are bigger and you're angry. And your anger can frighten your dog. Certainly frightens a puppy. So then your dog is never really sure what mood you're going to be in. And they often like get down low and wag their tail below their rump as an appeasement gesture, which everybody finds adorable. Some people think, oh, they know they did something wrong because they're groveling. They're dogs, people, okay? I love my dogs so much, but I still have to remember they're dogs. They have the brain of a size of a nut. 80% of their brain cavity is sensory neurons, and they just don't know. They don't have the cognition. But what does negative reinforcement do to satisfy us? Stops the behavior in the second. Now, that people find as reassuring. Their dog knows they'll stop doing it. But the blowback is that your timing might be off. You might be shocking your dog or yelling at your dog for something they're actually doing right. Hitting a dog or squeezing their mouth or sticking your fingers down their throat or poking them and hissing like a snake. It doesn't have the long-term effect you're hoping for. And you're actually highlighting the bad behavior by focusing on it. And who wants to have a scared dog in their presence? Dogs who are hypermanic or constantly in hyperarousal are often worried that their person might do something bad. So it makes them nervous to make them act out. It's a whole rigmarole that you just don't need to raise a dog. So check your frustration at the door and get real. You're dealing with a dog. You're not dealing with a human, and God forbid you deal with a human in those negative ways. I think of Ragnarok, you know, Thor Ragnarok, and they had this band around the guy's arm, and every time he did something they didn't want or left the compound or whatever, they shocked him. And in that instance, it's dystopian. But in our world, we do it to dogs without hesitation. Now, the final don't today is please stop treating your dog like a stuffed animal. True fact. I had a client come in the other day and her puppy was growling at them. And the puppy is about 3-month-old golden retriever. So I gave this puppy some savory bone, some poor pathetic pig part or some chicken leg or something. High value, in other words. And I reached down to see if it would snap at me. And it didn't. It wagged its tail. I picked it up. I gave it back to the dog. I tossed him a treat. But right away, I could tell this actually isn't a dog problem, the growling and snapping. It's a human problem. So the dog would growl or snap at the person when they came up. The dog might be in a deep sleep or just chewing on a bone or something. Grabbed the dog by the armpit. Now, by this time, the dog's like about 30 pounds. And hoisted it up like a child. Which I said, well, there's good news and bad news. The good news is that it's not the dog's problem. And the bad news is this is a 99.9% human problem. So what's wrong with just approaching your dog and picking them up by the armpits, even though they're 30 pounds. The problem is dogs don't like to be hoisted up by their armpits. I watched the woman, who's so nice. I mean, total, I would be her BFF if she lived next door. Love the lady, but she walked straight at her dog. She didn't give the dog any warning she was going to grab it by the armpits and hoist it up, or even give any warning that she was going to jar the dog awake. And the puppy, in that instance, has got to be thinking prey because it's half asleep. So if anybody grabbed the dog suddenly, if anybody grabbed the child suddenly, they would be so jarred awake that they would cry or snap or feel threatened. Needless to say, it didn't take a lot of sessions to get that problem to go away. In fact, it took one, and it was more human training than dog training. What did I teach her to do? The most important things to remember: the dog is not a stuffed animal. If you're going to do anything to the dog, you have to forewarn it. Okay, nail time. Before you clip their nails, we have up up to mean I'm picking you up. I say alley-oop to my dogs just because I love silly words. Now, when I taught this woman to approach the dog, I told her to turn around so that she was standing side by side and to reach her hands down slowly in front of the puppy's face, wake the puppy up with a happy voice or a treat. And then to very calmly bring the hands back on either side of the rib, say up, up, and hoist the dog up so that their spine was facing the ceiling and their belly was facing the floor. Not vertical like a baby, because dogs don't walk through the world or even hop like a kangaroo. They walk through the world in a horizontal manner, spine to ceiling, belly to floor. I also posted that this is a golden retriever. So the dog likely doesn't want to be picked up. It's a big puppy. It's only going to get bigger. And to please stop picking the dog up, only if necessary. So the key thing I'm pointing out is don't treat your dog like a stuffed animal. They're curious. They're seeking. Like, they like to check stuff out. They love to play. But they have emotions. They have fear and frustration. And a young puppy is a prey animal. It's got those little needly teeth that are porous and do nothing. And they like to stick close to the den, and they like to know what's happening next. And that's your role, is playing their parent. So if you're going to pick them up, or you're going to put them on a leash, you're going to clip their toes, you're going to brush them, use a cue word, use a licky mat, use some toys or a bone that they love, and make sure when you're handling your dog, you drop your hands down straight under their chin, so that they can smell you and know what's happening. Use a word associated to everything the puppy or dog might perceive as negative. And avoid staring and rushing at them and grabbing. Hands are for giving, not for grabbing. It's my motto. Okay, so our five don'ts. Number one, don't bullet command and stare at your dog for prolonged periods of time. Dogs may see it as confrontational. Puppies could view it as an invitation to play rough and start nipping and jumping on you. Don't harp on what they're doing wrong. You're often labeling the behavior you don't want to see instead of encouraging the behavior you do want to see. Don't keep your dog up at night or think they're company for your entertainment. You have to keep them on a sleep schedule. And it's so important that I'm going to go over it in the do's section, so hang tight. Number four, please check your frustration at the door. Getting angry at a puppy or dog is foolish. You'll just scare them and they won't know what to think about you. We want steady, 100% safety, bonding, encouraging relationship going both ways. Number five, don't treat your puppy like a stuffed animal. It is a thinking, feeling, sentient being, and it wants to feel a connection with you, but it also needs to know what's going on in your mind. And I'm going to teach you about this right now in the do's section. So let's march on. Do. Number one thing to remember is your dog or puppy always wants to know, where should I go and what should I do in this situation? Whether it's you're sitting down for a meal, somebody coming over, you're going to the vet, you're walking the dog and an aggressive dog is approaching. They want you to be able to direct them where to go and what to do so they don't have to make the decision for themselves. Like children, they really like to have an authority figure to focus on and trust. Number two, remember, dogs, like babies, like people, have five basic needs. They need to eat, drink, sleep, go to the bathroom, and play. If one of these needs isn't met, a puppy or a dog will communicate that, not with words, not with crying, because that's not their way. They will communicate an unmet need by acting out frantically and or nipping. And it's not the playful light nipping that's like their little front teeth are nibbling the end of your fingers. They roll those fingers back in their mouth and crunch. Because when a puppy needs something, it could be even just water. They're thirsty. They need something. Their body feels all out of balance. The most frequent needs that people don't recognize are their puppy's needs to sleep and poop. So those are needs that often go unmet and unprocessed by puppy parents or dog parents. And those are things to watch for. I'm going to talk about sleep again. A young puppy needs up to 20 hours of sleep per day before the age of 12 weeks. And you might think, that's absurd. What is she talking about? And I will underscore it again. A young puppy needs up to 20 hours of rest a day. A lot of people ask why, and I tell them, because until they're 12 weeks old, their brain is developing. And if they're overstimulated, they develop this chronic state of hyperarousal. So with regards to sleep, I like puppies to be put in a quiet room, preferably in a crate or gated somewhere so they have a smaller space. I like to see the room darked out, pitch black, like they're deep in the inner sanctum of the den. And I like some canceling music playing, either white noise-ish, sounds of the ocean, the rainforest, whatever, or actual music. And they've done studies to show that soft reggae music or soft rock can be the most calming to a dog. So the number one thing I see out of whack when I walk into a home, either with a puppy or a dog, is that they're not getting enough sleep. Dogs should be resting from 9 to 3 or 4. They should be most awake dawn to dusk, so 7 to 9. Most awake later on, 4 to 6. And then they should be going to bed at 7. Dogs do not need to be overstimulated or run around like children from play date to doggy daycare to agility in the evening. It's too much. They're dogs. To be the best they can be, they need the right amount of sleep. And even an adult dog still needs 15, 16 hours of rest each day, if not more. Keep that in mind. Now, rules of communication is the next big do. When you're communicating with your dog or puppy, remember, they do not speak English. They communicate with their posture, with the five posture points, the eyes, the ears, the mouth, the tail, and their overall body carriage. People freak out when I tell them this, and I direct them to the downloads that's on my website under the download section. Human and dogs' physical communication, aka body language, is nearly identical. When you get happy, let's say a team scores and you like do the wave and you jump up in exhilaration, you're up, you're positive. It passes in, you know, seconds. You're not up there waving for the rest of the day, but you go up. What happens to a dog when they're happy or excited? Everything goes up. Their head goes up. Their ears go up. Their tail goes up. When your dog is frightened or sad, their body goes down. Their tail goes down. Their ears go back. They kind of try to slip into the floor and disappear sometimes. If our body communication is similar and dogs communicate more with posture than vocalizations, how can we spin that so that when we give them direction, sit, calm down, wait, back, they can register them. And this is a fun fact about dogs. They can pick up words as long as we say them as we're doing a behavior. We say them as we're doing a behavior. So when dogs come to Camp Sarah, one of the first words they learn and the first lesson I give my clients is to teach your puppy or dog that all good things happen when they're on their mat. What is a mat? It's just like a blanket or a non-slip fabric mat. You set up their mats in various rooms you share, and before you give your dog or puppy anything, you encourage them to go on your mat or to go to place. So before I pet my puppy, before I put their food down or give them a treat or a toy, this goes for dogs too, I wave my arm like I'm bowling, I point to the mat, and I say, on your mat. Now, this draws into tip number one. Puppies always want to know where to go and what to do. So we are going to posture and pair to the posture a word on your mat as we direct our dogs to their mat. Once they get there, what do? Give them the toy, give them the attention, give them the bone, give them the toss their ball. But on your mat, we say with both posture and a vocalization. So our dogs are beginning to listen to us and watch us to figure out where to go and what to do. Now, when I'm teaching people how to communicate to their dog, I always encourage a warrior pose. What does that mean? I got to tell you, little two-year-olds love the warrior pose. It means stand up like a confident person. So your dog views you as having conviction. If you bend down and whimper or stare at your dog and keep repeating things, they're going to tune you out. You just don't make any sense to them. So when I say on your mat, I stand up in a nice tall pose. I point to my mat and I look at my mat and I reinforce my dog or puppy as soon as they go there. So it's important to teach your dog directions. A simple one is to say ball as you're picking up a ball. Let me ask you a question. I have a ball in my hand. I have a four-paw rule in my house, which means my dog has to be on four paws to get anything they desire. What happens if I'm holding the ball and the dog jumps up? I do what I call the opposite action response. I just lift the ball higher in the air, and I don't bring it down again until my dog is calm. Now, once my dog stands still or sits, I'm going to toss that ball, but I'm going to keep lifting it up if they jump. So again, we point to this. I want to focus on what they're doing right rather than rewarding them for what they're doing wrong. Posture, words are very important. Also, you want to remember in these instances that you're the one teaching your puppy. Your puppy or dog is not teaching you. So words said in a clear voice, on your mat, sit, come. Prompt them initially with reinforcements, their ball, their toy, their bone, your attention, anything they perceive as positive. And structure the interaction so that you're teaching them simple words like ball, bone, outside. Make a list of routine words and say them in this directional tone. Not high pitch, bone, bone, outside, come. I sound kind of like I'm whining, or I sound kind of like a bird, but I don't sound like I have conviction. So when I talk to my dogs, it's always come, sit, wait, watch, inside, on your mat. Very strong words, not loud, not high-pitched, not low, like I'm somebody else, just in a confident voice. Okay, now, the last thing I want to do you for, something you need to keep in mind and do with your dog, whether you've got a dog now, you've had a puppy for a few weeks or months, or you just got a new dog or puppy, is to socialize them and to teach them the meaning of everyday words, like outside, inside, as well as some basic directions you'll need to tell them where to go and what to do. And the reason this is so important is because dogs feel happier and happiest when they know more, when they can predict what's coming next. So in my house, when I say outside and I walk to the door, I know I'm going to have those 20 little paws scampering after me. And when I turn around and tell them to wait, I can encourage them to sit before giving them rewards. And that makes both them and me feel pretty great. Because at the end of the day, the one thing I want to guarantee to my dog is that the safest, the best, the happiest place to be is at my side.